You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we review Challengers.
Loco Guatanidos, Challengers.
I'm not saying that.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Yes, I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your hosts. I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
Oh, I'm good. Just batting the balls around. Yeah. Wait till you hear my swing. It's not so much the swing, it's the grunting I do afterwards. See, look, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying. Yeah, I get it. I'm catching your balls.
Ooh.
Or something. I don't know.
Does the director of photography, Mike Griggs, get it?
Come on! Yeah.
I know you're trying to be quiet because you're in a hotel room. Come on!
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
We also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello.
Hey. And here we are talking Luco Guadagnino's Challengers. The tennis movie that is also sexy.
Is it?
Is it sexy?
Has no nudity.
It's pretty sexy. You didn't think it was sexy?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Not after the last few movies we've been watching, no.
No.
I thought it was very
okay, that's
tame.
Fair. All right, that's tame. Yeah. Tame does not mean it's not sexy, though.
Okay, sure.
I just need more. More tongue rubbing on people's faces. Like, listen, I really need to see the tongue like exit the mouth and wiggle.
It was only like 3 or 4 times.
Okay, yeah, it's fine then.
I was surprised it was as tame as it was being rated R. Like, this
it was rated no R sex. For the language, right? Like, not the sex. It's the language.
No, there's no sex. There's never any sex. You never see sex. It's all foreplay.
Yeah, because there's... exactly. I was very disappointed. No, because the New York Times came out with that article that said that compared it to like Poor Things and Saltburn and said sex is back, and I was like, what? Oh, okay. And no, it's not. Not this movie. Like,
well, okay, there were some like random dicks in the locker room, I guess.
Okay, yeah, again, does just, that count as know, sex?
It was not sexy,
I don't know
though.
What kind
no,
of sex so you're casual. Having, like,
because it's just some dudes, just like you know, just like yep, no, I'm just in the locker room. Yep,
you, okay, dudes. Up. Have you ever been in a locker room where people are just like laying their junk out there, like, bro, good game today, bro? You know, like,
what? The movies does have you believe that professional athletes are just hanging out with their dicks out.
We've all got big cocks, you know that, right? Yeah, bro. Hanging low today, bro. Catch you out there. That doesn't happen.
Can you get your dick out of my face?
I'm dressing here.
Yeah, disappointed by the lack of skin. I was expecting more.
Well, I mean, you saw the two guys eat churros right in front of each other. Like they were just doing that 12-year-old thing again.
And bananas. And were there any other phallic?
No, there was like he grabbed an egg. and he like just like chomped down on the testicle that was an egg.
Oh, that one's not representative of the feminine presence at the table that left him, and he's like, ah, that's what I want. Ah.
He's like, I just want to eat testicles. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay. I will say the performances in this were very, like, believable. Like, it never felt like they were really acting to me. I don't know. Maybe I was just caught up in it, but...
I mean, I agree that the acting was very good, but at the same time... I totally, when they were revealed to be like in their mid-30s, I was like, no, they're not. How old are these people? Like, these are children.
Oh, yeah, right. No, they all look like... I was like, wait, all right, she's like 20, 22?
Yeah, that's
like that?
What I thought. Oh, no, she was 22. yeah, she has a kid, and so I was like, okay, yeah. Maybe 23.
And then, I think she's 25-ish, like, tops?
She's like 31 or something like that. She was 18.
Zendaya is actually 28, I think.
Yeah, 27 or 28, and I think I looked it up, and she's supposed to be 32 in this, which I did not buy at all.
I just went with that. I didn't have a problem with that.
Well, you know, they don't have the kid around a lot. You only see her once, but they talk about it. But I think that's kind of good because you would really hate her more, you know, if she was like really fucking up her family. I'm saying, but it's not like you're directly in your mind, you know.
I disagree because like the night that she leaves and goes to fuck the other dude, like she has this whole interaction with her mom, like, hey, thanks for taking care of her. What time do I need to be here tomorrow? And she's like, oh, the other guy's gonna do it while we're. It's fine, like just whenever. Blah blah blah. Thanks, love you. Like they had a whole thing, the same night where she's gonna. She tells her husband, if you don't win tomorrow, I'm going to leave you. And then she goes and fucks another dude. Like,
well, but then she comes back. Fight the knife for her. But she comes back and the kid's in bed with the dad. And I was like, wow. Okay.
Good. Okay. So we're standing at the tail of the fucking car. We're in beautiful red light and beautiful, soft, out of focus images.
With the trash swirling around. Yeah.
In a hurricane. Yep. And she turns around and she runs at this dude. What were your thoughts, Kristen? How did you feel in this moment?
What did I feel?
Yes, I need to know. I wanted to jump up and be like, you bitch!
No, I think I was more, like, disappointed. Like, yeah, of course you're going to do that. Like, I didn't have any strong reactions like that, but... Okay. I also don't think any of these people are good people.
You don't like anybody in this movie. There's nobody to root for.
So the fact that they're all being terrible to each other, I was just kind of like, yeah, okay. You can keep being terrible, I guess.
I didn't hate anybody.
Really?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I didn't hate them. I just didn't like them. I was just like, you're all like,
come on. Like,
But I think at some level you're supposed to understand them and root for them. You're supposed to root for someone. Like, don't you want one of the men to... Like, you're supposed to want one of the men to win, I think.
I want their friendship to come... Yeah, I want to see them become friends again at the end. Totally.
Well, they kind of did. They hugged. That was cute.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the ending resolution.
They hugged in front of all those people.
Yeah, that made me irritated. Actually, when it ended, that was the most emotion I felt. I was angry that I had watched this movie.
You were like, what?
What?
Well, everything's just back to the beginning again, you know?
Yeah.
Now they can finally have their threesome.
Yeah.
And Zendaya is happy again because, you know, tennis is back.
She finally saw some real tennis.
She saw some real good fucking tennis, and she knows that Art is going to go off and he's not going to quit. He actually got what he needed to go off, and now he can go play in the Open. That's his motivation. And
but no one
Patrick
won.
Is back in the back, you know, back again. He's off the drugs and back in the game. So everybody's back. We're good, right?
Well,
we fuck each other.
We don't know that Art did that because, I mean, no one won the game. It was still a tie when it ended. When he hit the net, it voids the point.
I don't know.
Because he jumped over the point? He jumped over the net?
No, he hit the net.
No, he didn't. The ball's in the air and he jumps up and he hits he spikes it.
No, you're
talking about his body hit the net?
Yeah.
You can't touch the net is what you're saying?
Right, okay. Yeah, it avoids the point.
Correct.
There should have been a little, like, pop-up video. Like, a little thing that pops up at the end and, like, explains, like,
Okay, wait, so on that, so actually on that note, yes, there should have been a little pop-up video. Like, that would have been great. This reminded me of, like, the MTV movies that came out, like, in the 90s. I don't know if they still make movies anymore. But, like, did any of you guys watch the made-for-TV movies that MTV used to do? No, not, like, no. Like, before they got into reality. I watched them. I was, like, 13, 14. And this is exactly, like, the kind of movie that MTV would have made.
In a good way?
I mean, I would have loved this, yes, probably when I was 13 or 14. Yeah, like, as an adult, though. Like, I know now why my mom would, like, roll
Two
her
best
eyes
friends
and be like,
find out there's
okay.
more to love.
Yeah, I guess it depends on your perspective as to whether or not it's good. Yeah, I don't know. Like, as a child, I think I would have loved this movie.
Can I ask a question to the group? Whose movie is this?
Exactly.
Like, what do you mean? It? Whose
story? Who is this? Zendaya's story? Is this Tashi? Oh.
See, it's all three of them, right?
Yeah, it's all three of them.
But is she like just like a puppet master? Is she playing them like that? That's the whole point. She's, you know.
I think they're all playing each other.
I don't know. Yeah, Art seems like he's the least.
Art
manipulating.
Seems like. Wait. Is Art the blonde one?
Yeah,
he's the one who manipulated both fire. Of them into breaking up so that he could get with her. What do you mean he's the least manipulative one?
Yeah, but all's fair in love and war. Now we're 13 years later.
Oh, he's
Kristen.
Okay, but the other ones are masterminds.
Well,
okay.
Like, look, we're married. We have a fucking kid. Like, that shouldn't that all count for something?
He doesn't seem to care about that. He still hugged the dude at the end. Like, he's not mad at Zendaya either. Like, he could have. Like, he's just mad that he lost in that moment, and now he can fight again. Like, that doesn't tell you mastermind. Come on, it doesn't say lover boy to me.
I just think that he got boring and she lost attraction to him, and then she was looking for some spice.
I think he had no ambition.
He was giving up on his career that she wanted.
Yeah, she was kind of living through him, yes. But also, I mean, yeah, if he had ambition for like literally anything, I think their relationship could have been fine, but he didn't. He just wanted to do nothing. And that's not attractive. And I mean, I kind of feel like in general, but like especially to someone like her.
Well, he just wanted to quit, right? Like, he's getting old. He's lost his ambition, his will to win. He's tired, right?
Sure, I get that. But at some point, she asks him, like, what do you want to do? And he doesn't really have an answer. And she's like, you just want to be, like, a rich person and sit around and do nothing? And that's when he's like, no, you're right. I'll play tennis.
Do you think that when he asks her if I lose tonight, you know, what will happen? She was like, I'll fucking leave you. Do you think she would actually leave him?
I don't know. I kind of feel like she said that to motivate him.
I felt that too. Yeah.
Not that she was actually like a cold-hearted bitch.
I feel
but then
she
goes off and she fucks
leave.
The other
she
guy.
Might.
She would leave him.
She would leave him in a heartbeat.
She wouldn't leave him because he
she
lost.
She would leave that kid behind. Her parents that are on fucking tour with them and her
Why
fucking
would she
mother
leave
and
her
his
kid. Oh, for the
because
for the
she's
homeless
fucking
guy?
Evil,
Come on.
Kristen. Like,
what are you basing this on? I don't.
The
think
movie that
this
we watched
is based on the movie.
That's why she's bathed in red when she turns around and she runs into fucking Patrick's arms. Like,
okay.
I don't know. There's more to the leaving than just the sex. Like, she was considering changing being his coach instead of her husband's coach. Like,
yeah.
So
sex isn't important to her. It's transactionary. She uses it to get what she wants and to make things happen.
She doesn't seem to want like very much except tennis. She's a very one-dimensional character, which is why I really have trouble seeing all of the stuff you're projecting onto her.
No,
because, like, she doesn't see. Do you think so? I think she just seems
she's
to care about
one.
Playing tennis.
Well, yeah, but you don't know why
that's
she's.
It.
That's because we don't know the reasons why she is causing manipulation. We don't know if her intentions are to help somebody and make somebody become the better version of themselves, or is she manipulating these people just because she wants to see a good game of tennis?
It's that basic.
Is she enjoying it? Yeah. I mean, is this like she's in control of all aspects of her life? Now her knee is blown out, right?
And
we don't know what she's doing. Now, the guys, we're constantly in their head. We know they tell us out loud exactly what they fucking want and what they're going after and what they're doing. She's the question mark. So that's not being one-dimensional. That's just, like, leaving it a little bit of mystery there for us to think
about,
right?
I don't. Okay, I don't really think that she's manipulating them just because she wants to see a good game of tennis. Because
I mean, she says that though. She says that.
I don't think that's a legitimate reason. And I mean, in terms of their relationship, with her relationship with both of them, I don't think either relationship is very good. But she did have a seemingly healthier relationship with who's it, Patrick, the guy who's homeless now, that with Patrick, because it wasn't very good, but at least there was some sort of he was more on her level. They had an affair. They've already had an affair. She didn't just do this to get a good game of tennis one time. They've already had an affair. And she was with him for a long time until Art manipulated them, both of them, into breaking up.
But when she was with Patrick, she was in like her prime. She was still like playing, right? That was before she blew her knee out, right? So that when she thinks about time with him, that's back when I was like, you know, happy. I had everything that I wanted. So that's like looking back on better times and everything. Now with Art, you know, we're fucking millionaires. We have a family and everything, but it's fucking boring, and I'm not getting what I need.
Yeah, well, she's like also probably blaming the Patrick character too, because like they have that argument, and then she blows her knee out right after.
Exactly.
Like,
No, 100% later. Sure.
I mean, with with Patrick, like, yeah, she was at the top of her game, and she was at the top of everything, and she probably could be more herself. Like with Art, like he'll just do whatever she wants, and like it's not fun to have like a little puppet. You know, he's not like in a relationship with her. He's just doing whatever she says. I mean, Patrick even tells her that. It's probably that. I mean, if anything's going to be the downfall of their relationship, it's the fact that they're not on the same level. And I don't mean that's like tennis wise. I mean like
no,
mentally.
Yeah, but all of it. Well, that's what's interesting to me about this movie is all the layers of the tennis matches back and forth, and it's like. It seems like every conversation is a tennis match. It's not seems like they carefully craft it to be that, and the juxtaposing of this main thing that we keep going back to of the present day, in addition to the fact that they're all challengers. Like that's not just like the tennis concept that they're coming in to do. They are each challenging each other in all of the ways that they want to attack life, the ways that they want to be in a relationship with each other. This whole movie is so layered. With all of the timelines and all of the relationships, like there's a lot of complexity to it that I really appreciated.
I really like the out of order framing device. That was like at the very beginning when the flashback, I was like, oh, okay, we're gonna come back to this game at the end, and it started intercutting things, going back and forth. I thought that was great. I did start to get a little lost in the toward the end, but then they had that great hurricane. That is like in the poster.
The whirlwind of emotion, you know?
The banner, whether it's up fully or whether the storms happen, those are great visual things to let you know where you are in the movie, what time period.
It was those things, then Zendaya's hair. Oh, it's long. Okay. Yeah. Oh, it's short. Or it's current. All right, okay, I got it.
I did. That. The hair is helpful. Also, she could like put on like slightly nicer clothing when she was old.
Yes, correct.
It definitely helps build the, you know, the entire like emotional like suspense.
I mean, yes and no.
Cutting back and forth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I liked the intercutting a lot. But one of the other things that kind of made me upset was when she sees Patrick in the modern day, current time, whatever the current time is. She's so angry and she's like, "You stay away from us. Stay away from our family." And you're like, "Oh my god, what's happening? What's going on?" And then like nothing is happening. Like nothing. She's just mad for no reason. Like I was like, "Come on."
You didn't think immediately what happened, and we've been already getting flashbacks, so we're probably
I wanted to know what happened. So what happened?
That's the point.
Nothing.
No, something happened in Atlanta.
Something.
Yeah, they had an affair in Atlanta, and now she's mad at him. Give me a break, please. So she just, like, she's just mad at him because she's like, oh, you're just, like, I'm not going to have sex with you again, except she clearly did. Like, ugh.
I like that they showed that Art knew then.
Yeah.
Well, he knew and didn't admit to himself. He knew it.
He knew. And he, he kept it to himself. He didn't care. So when he found out again, that's the whole thing with the end. He finds out again that they've had another affair. And he's just like, oh, okay, come here, give me a hug, bro. Like,
That wasn't a sweet hug, Kristen. That was a like a powerful man hug, a bear hug, if you will.
Yeah, they made up. Everything's fine. It's cool. You fucked my wife. Whatever.
I mean, they've here, been dancing around the three of them doing something the entire fucking movie. Like, it's the throwback, though. It's the throwback to their
the
first
ending of Chasing Amy would have fixed this. We all need to fuck each other.
Yeah,
like, you know, it's
okay.
Just
yes,
like...
that's what I thought was going to happen in this movie. I would have been here for like, let's look at some throuple dynamics.
Let's
okay,
just get it done. Yeah,
you
let's,
know,
let's
I don't know what's
problem.
Happening, but let's figure it out. And that's not what they did. I don't know. Especially at the beginning when you think that's what's going to happen in the hotel room with the high school children.
Yeah. No, then, I like how she's like, we're out of beer. And like which one of you motherfuckers is about to leave and go get beer? You know, so I could fuck the other one. Because both guys are like, why? I'm not going anywhere. Like,
and I did also think it was really interesting that, I feel like it started really strong. It was so interesting when she was like, you know, whoever wins the match gets my number. But, like, they're just, like, friends throughout all of it. I've never seen two dudes competing for the same girl consistently for, like, what, 12 years? Who are, like, that close?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? They're constantly in competition with each other.
So they're used to it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been their entire relationship since they were 12.
Yeah. It's all we see on screen.
When they were like jerking off together yes. and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even that was a competition. It was also like
sad.
Mutual masturbation. They're clearly into each other, but it was also competition. Like,
dude, when he yeah, smacks yeah. that dude's boner when he's standing up
was
so fucking
really
funny.
Yeah, that was a good tension releasing moment.
How were y'all's crowds? Hey. Did you have like active audience?
Oh yeah,
members.
Yeah, I had a lady about four rows back that was just like, uh-uh.
No.
And like, oh, every time the ball got served, you could hear just ooh. Air being sucked in. And like, oh, I think everybody did the audible suck in on the knee blowout. That got a nice
yeah, yeah, yeah.
verbal
oh,
reaction from everybody.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Fuck. That was...
I saw it with one
crowd. I was the one in the theater doing that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You can't not. It's also the visual of it. But I was with one crowd who was very, like, audible. And I think it was a better experience. And then I saw it again. And it was just dead silent the entire time. And it was just... I was like, really, man? This is crazy.
Are you
crazy.
Still talking about tennis, Jared?
It wasn't dead silent.
I don't know,
Jared.
Maybe
it was going.
Oh no, dude! We were definitely in a fucking in a '90s rave.
Again, the '90s MTV think... movie. Okay.
What'd you think about the score?
Trent Reznor and Atticus Frost.
That thinking, doesn't mean
yeah,
it's good.
Called that one. Okay.
Yeah, it did not
I know.
Actually
I mean,
enjoy it at all.
It has its moments.
It
yeah.
Does,
okay.
It does
yeah.
Moments.
Some moments were okay, but like overall, no.
It overpowered some scenes, and like it yeah. was it was like very Tenet in ways. It was like too loud, and also like it felt like the beach scene, but and like well, I will say that the first time I saw it, the beach scene, the score felt overpowering, and then the second time I actually had a better screening. The first one actually, the top of the screen was cut off again. Malcolm needs to get their
oh,
shit together.
Jesus,
God, they
the
suck.
Second time I actually had full headroom, which is great. But yeah, it just seems like sometimes that overly techno like shit is like overtaking the dialogue, so you're having to like listen really hard or whatever.
Oh, that I mean, even in the scene when Nelly is playing yeah. the "It's Getting Hot in Here" scene. At some point, I was like, "Am I supposed to be listening to the music or the dialogue? Like should we turn one down? Maybe, like, what are we doing?"
I don't think at those moments they cared about the dialogue. Those were like that recurring motif is so very clearly them saying, "Hey, just in case you haven't gotten every other heavy-handed thing, this is another moment of them having a tennis match of somebody's hitting something back and forth and something starting." And so like when the dialogue is happening underneath that, it's just like we don't really care what's happening now. Now it's like, you know, stop paying attention to what you're listening to and start looking at, watch, make your head go ping pong and back and forth.
Like everybody else, back.
Yeah, exactly.
Back.
Back and forth. Are you Zendaya staring straight forward?
That's a callback to Alfred Hitchcock's Strangers on a Train. They do that same exact shot without a dolly. I do like the first shot, though, when it like moves in and you get that Trent Reznor score and when it just starts going like crazy techno. And it's like, whoa, okay, wow, this is a totally different tone
this is
right
what we're
now.
In for.
This wasn't the vibe I was expecting.
Yeah. I don't know. It does kind of like reset your expectations, like, okay, maybe this isn't going to be a tennis movie, but we're not here to just watch tennis.
Yeah, a lot of people are taking the score and using it at the gym to work out. Like, this is a score that is completely enjoyable on the treadmill.
It's enjoyable on the treadmill.
Oh. Yeah.
That's where Nine Inch Nails has gone.
Way to go, guys. Way to go.
They went from, these bands, they're corrupting our kids' mind, to, hey, let's listen to this on the treadmill while we work out. That's what time does. Well, on that note, you guys want to take a break? Let's watch the trailer for Luca Guadagnino's Challengers. We'll be right back.
You think that tennis is about expressing yourself, doing your thing. You don't know what tennis is.
What is it?
Tashi Duncan.
She's in another league.
You were incredible today.
Come on!
To have a fashion line, a foundation. It's gonna turn a whole family into millionaires.
What are you gonna do now?
Unfortunately, my only skill in life is hitting a ball with a racket.
I want you to be my coach.
I want you to be my coach.
How often does this happen? Going after the same girl? Come here.
Which one of us?
This is a game about winning the points that matter.
I don't need to play my games with you.
Come have a cigarette with me. I have to talk to you.
I don't smoke, and I'm not talking to you.
He's not in love with you.
What makes you think I want someone to be in love with me?
Hey, I love you.
I know. You wish you never ever
met her at all. All right. We're back. That was a trailer for Luca Guadagnino's Challengers. What a good trailer. Good text. Ooh, that was good. That was good.
Nice Star Wars quote. Love it.
Oh, yeah, right? That's how you end a trailer, you know? Give them a different line reading of that Han Solo I know.
Oh, I was just going to remark on how many rackets were broken in this movie.
Oh, yeah. I have some anger issues.
I do like every how the player. he tells the Patrick tells the hotel person, like, the racket alone is worth like $300. So like later when you just see him slamming it down, you're like, well, all right, cool. They're just,
I don't know who you are.
Neither do we, lady. Neither do we.
I don't know. It made it look like $300 was not a lot to these people.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for
it was a nice little throwaway kind of exposition.
Maybe the guy that was living in his car at that point.
Yeah, Patrick. Did you guys notice his heroin marks on his arm?
Yeah.
Is that what those were?
Yeah, it's subtle. They show it like twice, you know, but they don't really. They sit on it, but they never bring it up.
There was one moment where I saw him like rubbing his elbow, and it happened so fast. I was like, why is he rubbing his elbow? And then it just never came back, and I was like, okay.
Yeah,
you just have an itch. What?
Yeah, I did notice a couple like behavioral things, but yeah, I kind of forgot about them because they didn't mention it or go anywhere.
Yeah, they never really talk about it.
I guess they don't do drug screens on tennis players.
Tennis is a very expensive sport, so probably not.
All right, so you're telling me I can dope in tennis? All right, cool.
I know they all look pretty thin. I don't think everybody's like, you know, doing any steroids or anything.
Oh, just crazy workout routines and personal chefs and et cetera, et cetera. I did like that they kind of gave you a sense of this is a professional athlete who has like a team of people working with him And then that kind of gave a good context to how much Zendaya meant to him, both professionally and personally.
Also, like in those scenes, you subtly see that he's kind of worn down. He's gone through some surgeries.
Yeah.
You can see like little surgery marks on his shoulders and stuff, and he's still going through physical therapy.
Well, she has that one line where she says, like, I would have killed to recover the way you're recovering or whatever. So clearly he's gone through some shit too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even then they have that like close-up shot on her knee and you see that giant slit down there. It's like, oh, something happened to her. I think they do a really good job of like setting things up, and with all the cross-cutting and all the multiple timelines, like giving you context enough to understand the gravity of the things that are happening, and then still pushing the story forward and still creating suspense in the relationships and the tensions between the characters. Like, this is an extremely well-written movie in those aspects.
Yeah, I agree with that. The writing is on point. Camera work, not so much.
God damn, man. These focus pulls.
Yeah. Jared mentioned it to me before. That's actually the only context I had going into this movie was there's a lot of focus issues. And
did I ruin the movie for you?
There were a lot of focus issues. No, I honestly, I spent a lot of time just being like, is this the moment when he was talking about? Is this the moment when he was talking about?
Oh, wait, it's the whole
because
movie.
There was, okay. I mean, there's plenty of focus issues, but also, like, I don't know that the screening that I had was super sharp. But also, they're spending a lot of time on, like, really long lenses that are clearly very wide open. And so, like, it tracks and makes sense to me that when the moments are out of focus, because like everything is fucking super shallow.
If you're doing
shallow,
those stylized slow motion stuff, that makes sense to me, Mike. But like our key moment, we talked about it at the car. We're in the hurricane. We turn around. We have this beautiful fucking close up of Zendaya, and it's out of fucking focus. It's our big fucking moment, and it's out of focus.
There's like a few of the big ones at the end.
Were we out of film? I mean, what's happening? That apparently they were shooting film. I heard the director say they were shooting film. I couldn't find what camera.
That could just mean they had like two shots. I mean,
yeah.
The director said they flew some camera in.
That was for the high speed stuff. Yeah. They were shooting like 10,000 frames a second for that high speed film stuff.
The high speed stuff was cool. There was a lot of weird focus things in this. But again, like some of them are really long takes. And there's a lot of like long zoom lenses, like long focal lengths. There's like, I'm thinking of a couple times where they're like walking down the hall and it, you know, tracks focus from one character to another. And then they get to the end of the hall and they pull to the other character and then they pull to the other person who's walking. Like there's some hard focus pulls in this. But that being said, like, I don't understand how you're good at those really difficult focus pulls. And then we have a fucking close up and you're not on like one eye that's a little bit farther away. You're like behind the eye, and like
the whole fucking face is out of focus. Yet again, they're really good at really complicated shit. But like, it seems like the simple stuff they fall on, maybe because it was dark or whatever. But but also all the really cool, like we become the ball and the bouncing back and forth and all that kind of stuff is really fucking neat. And I know that the ball was digital, like as far as any time
there's a lot of digital balls. Yeah.
When they're playing and they're bouncing back and forth and they have those really long runs, they're just it's like The Walking Dead, you know. They're adding the ball later.
Yeah,
you know,
they're adding the racket.
They're at what?
Yeah, the actors just had a stick. If you watch the
holy shit
behind
really?
The scenes stuff, it's like lightsabers. Like you could,
that's amazing.
You could go into that footage and add lightsabers at the end of that.
If that doesn't exist, that's fucking someone's wild, not doing their fucking job.
Like they use sticks instead of rackets to make sure that like what techniques were easier or
probably just
less
making
noticeable?
Sure that the angle, because I'm sure that the angle of the racket hitting the ball to make it do what it's supposed
to. Yeah, okay, that makes
probably
sense.
Makes sense. Yeah,
that makes sense. I didn't think about that because like it looks like they're doing like, I mean, I don't know tennis that well, but it seems like their actual technique is at least reasonably good for most of it.
They choreographed every tennis match, so it was like a dance. They knew exactly where to be
that's
and where to go.
Cool.
So, and that was, the director said that was the only thing that they storyboarded. He said that he doesn't normally storyboard anything. They actually storyboarded the tennis moments because they were like a dance and it needed to be so they could shoot it properly.
Yeah. I'm absolutely fucking for that shit.
And then the actors don't have to worry about going after a ball, which position they're holding the racket in or anything like that. They can just do the steps, which is like more like dancing. which actors do.
I mean, they didn't like break the, all those rackets. They just were like hitting little sticks on the
ground. They definitely broke those.
No, they broke
I'm sure
those.
Those moments are real rackets. Yeah.
No, but they're actually playing tennis. Yeah, when they're hitting the ball back.
Well, there's plenty of times where like the camera is like in the direct perspective, and the ball's going past it, and then through it, and it's like, all right, well, that was clearly a digital ball for pretty much all of these now, but it never pulled me out of the story. Like, I was just like, this is so cool. We're seeing tennis from a great perspective.
No, I kept moving my head. Like, when the ball would go right at you, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, damn. Like, hey. You know, like I'm watching a 3D movie, you know? It was good enough.
Yeah, when we as the audience became the ball, that was right at the edge of, like, any another fucking second of that, and I would have been like, I'm sick. I can't watch it anymore. It was... They pushed that to the limit.
I feel like that was almost too long, because when it first happened, I was like, oh, this is really cool. And then I was like, are we still doing
this? This is still going. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the shot. I want to know how they did that one. Because that shot is so cool, because you're like the ball POV. You're going back and forth, and then it ends. Somehow the it spins around, and then it becomes a bird's eye view of the court. It's fucking mind-blowing. Yeah. And like,
it's got to be a drone,
it's
right?
It's pretty dope.
I don't know.
Like,
is
some kind of like, is it? It could be. Is it? It can't be an all animated world. So it,
I,
is it?
I think is it honestly, like that's what I'm inclined to think. I think it's an animated world. I think maybe they did some tests where they, you know, like throw a GoPro around and shit like that, just to kind of get the idea of how the kinetic movement would feel. But yeah, the only thing that felt maybe possibly real was the time when it turns and you see the audience, and when it's going across the court and you're like going sideways, like that felt like maybe there's some real footage in there. But there's enough like motion blur things and like animated kind of stuff that they added to some of the things that, like, if they shot it, they were really, really, really stretching some of the moments to make sure that it still feels real while they're stitching it together.
Yeah, just how do you make it feel so fast and not feel like it's like sped up, but it's actually part of the scene where it's moving? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. The motion felt nice, you know?
It did. Yeah. And it was like, again, it was right on the edge of like any more of this and it would have been too much, but like it never felt too fast, but it never felt too slow. Like we were waiting for it to get there.
And even the under the court shots where you're like looking up for the glass.
I love those. I fucking love those.
Super,
those
super
are so
cool.
Fun.
The director said that that's a concept that he had for Suspiria, but they couldn't work it in the budget. So he's like, I'm going to use it eventually and came up with it for this.
Said he's going to use it on his next movie, too.
He's like, fucking it. He's like, it's a great POV. Well, we need to use this more often.
Yeah, nobody goes underneath the action. And
I've seen a lot of videos where people under a glass table.
Yeah, I think it's very famous. What is it, Kill Bill, where Uma Thurman's wearing the fuck you shoes, and it says it at the bottom of her sneakers.
Oh, yeah, that is so fucking great.
That is good. And that's just a quick shot. I mean, blink and you miss it.
Well, these are really quick shots, too. They're just real, like, you know, simple. But it's cool. Like seeing the lines on the tennis court, you know?
Yeah.
Like subtleness,
the little
that
paint
cool.
splatter things. Looks like it could almost just be tape or some shit. Yeah, love it. Man, the editing in this movie is really nice. I think we need to talk about that, because like there's so many moments where things are building and it's smash cuts to another scene, or they're like jump cutting around for the tennis matches where you just see hit, 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 boom, another scene or whatever. There's some really interesting transitional things. And there's also some really fucking weird, just straight up jump cuts where it's like, did you just shoot this whole scene without coverage, and then you just needed to get to a different moment?
That. Yeah, it's like the cut time.
It was a weird,
and there was even a freeze contrast. Frame at one point.
Where
it freeze frames, and I'm like, made
the
me
music's
think the
still
fucking,
going. It's not a freeze frame.
Yeah, well, actually, speaking of music, there were a lot of times where they had that heavy ass score come in and it just goes away. You know, they just like cut and it's gone.
Yeah, yeah,
they do that a lot. A lot of abrupt edits and stuff like that. I get that. Maybe they're just making things uneasy or just making it feel.
Yeah.
Well, they would usually do that when they were like transitioning time periods as well. It's just it's a nice little visual or audio, I guess, in that case, cues to let your audience know what you're doing. I did feel the movie was a little long.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I don't know what would you take out? I don't know. I feel like you kind of need it all, but it was long. Got a little bored in the middle.
I felt the length. Yeah.
I feel like it's not that you would cut anything out. It felt long because it's not great and it's kind of boring. That's all. It's not that there's anything to take out. And also, I think what doesn't help is that I don't think it's very visually interesting. I mean, you have like the tennis aspect, and that's interesting. And that, you know, the acting is great and the writing is fine. But you're not really looking at anything interesting ever.
They're pretty people. They look like models.
The hurricane of trash. The hurricane of trash is kind of cool.
That was impressive. That was impressive.
It was.
That's
yeah.
the word I would use, but it was good to look at.
Do you think that entire scene was ADR? Even though it seemed like it wasn't.
But I think all
wind machines and
no. I think most of I don't know. Fuck yeah. I think most of the trash stuff was digitally added.
Really?
Really?
I do.
Bro, they had signs wiggling, and then even off in the far background when they actually had that giant fucking banner on the side of that parking garage, it was blowing in the wind. It looked like they had massive wind machines out there going.
That banner was definitely digital.
Yeah.
Really?
I thought the digital banner. Yeah.
Even when they were hanging it and it was loose?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
Really?
I thought that part was digital for sure.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but yeah, I don't know. There's moments where,
with
like
the budget on this, Brian, I would like to think they built that fucking banner.
Wait, did they have a big budget
maybe.
On this?
Because massive.
I thought
it was a mid-level fucking massive studio budget. It was
$55 million.
No,
yeah, it's a
way.
Lot for this fucking movie. Come
where
on
did
now.
It go?
It's
yeah,
not
no,
that much.
Zendaya made $10 million out of it.
Well, maybe she's a producer. I mean, she could. Yeah,
no, she's reported more. As making $10 million off of it.
Oh, wow! So she could make more. If it becomes yeah. profitable, well, it's only made 53.2 worldwide. I mean, it's only in its second weekend right now. So, it's entering its third.
Hey, it's a good play on them because it was supposed to release during the pandemic, was it not? It's been made for a long ass time.
It was supposed to release
in 2019.
No, it was. The script was on the blacklist in 2021, and they start. When did they start shooting? They're shooting May 3rd of 2022 to June 26th of 2022. And then post-production was completed in April of 2023. It was supposed to come out in September of that year.
It was the strikes. It wasn't the pandemic. Yeah. It was the strikes that fucked it up. That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, I get, because this movie, like, it's an original concept and everything else like that. If you don't have the actors out pushing this thing, like...
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I did think it was weird, though, because this was an MGM Amazon release, right? And the last one that they just had, they put out, Roadhouse, that just went straight to streaming. No theatrical release at all.
This is way bigger of a movie, though, man, as far as, like, production value and all that. It feels slick. Roadhouse feels pretty cheap to me.
Dude, I guarantee you that had the same amount of budget, though.
You think so?
I haven't seen Roadhouse, but... I feel like if this was released on streaming, I wouldn't hate it as much.
Wait, why is that? Because you didn't have to leave your house and spend actual extra money? Okay.
Because if it's just like a streaming movie, you're like, oh, it's probably not any good. Let me watch it. Your expectations are low. If you go to the theater, you expect a good movie. I expect a good movie if I go to the theater.
Well, it's just like the first Omen. They planned that to be a streaming movie, and they were like, "Holy shit, this actually came out pretty good."
Exactly, and so they put it in theaters. Yes, because it's a good movie. You should put. It
in. I was saying that should be the benchmark. It's like, all right, yes. You know, every movie should be slated for streaming, and then like you need to be worthy enough to go to the theater.
Yeah.
Wait, was that was an MGM? The first Omen, though, right? Was that MGM? No, okay, yeah.
No.
Yeah, I just think it's weird how Amazon's like, oh, this is a theatrical release. Oh, this goes straight to streaming. It's
yeah, because Amazon bizarre. Has some good stuff that they put just straight to streaming. I don't really understand their how they decide all of that.
Well, also, you know, Roadhouse is super goofy. You know, I don't see people going to the theater to see that. Nobody asked for Roadhouse to be remade. So that makes sense that that's going to go to streaming, because you're going to capture you're like, fuck it, we'll watch it, you know. I guess why most people even saw it, because it's fucking ridiculous. Like, for some reason, Conor McGregor thinks that smiling is acting. He's got this shit-eating grin on his face every frame. You know, like I say, it's just so fucking stupid. But this movie is actually, you know, it feels like it needs to be in the theater. I think it helped watching the theater. Like I said, the first time I saw it with the crowd and people are into it, I think it actually helps the movie. It helps.
Well, yeah.
This is an active watch, because you're like, holy shit, you know, there's an energy in the theater, and when things are fucked up, you love to feel that, you know. So it really helps.
Yeah, I think that's true about any movie that you're going to see in the theater. But this also has, you know, a lot of kinetic energy as a film. So watching it with other people who are also reacting to it can only help.
What did you guys think of the costumes?
What did you think of the costumes?
Wait, there were
Kristen?
Costumes?
I hated that there weren't costumes. No, there were
no. What are you talking about? I didn't see any costumes in this movie.
I don't know. I just thought it was
so
bad.
She wore that blue
dress
thing.
Yeah, she did. That looked hideous. Like half the time, she looks fantastic. Like she is the person looks fantastic, but she could have looked so much better in something else.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah. No, I'll give you that. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, and like the thing is I don't. Okay. I guess I don't know a lot about the tennis world, but usually athletes make best dress lists because they hire stylists and they look good. And so I was also very disappointed that they did not. This really looked like. I'm going to blame it on the director is not caring about this. It just looked like he was like, yeah, they're college students. Let them wear college. Like, this is what college kids wear. Like, there was and you can do that, but that's where the styling comes in. That's where a costume designer, somebody comes in, because you can make it look interesting. Just like when she's older, like, she doesn't have to just wear like a pantsuit. You know what I mean? Like, you can make this look interesting. I think the only outfit of hers that stood out is when she is at the hotel with Patrick, because she's wearing that brown sweatshirt. And the only reason it stands out is because she's not wearing a bra. And you have that nice shot of her walking, which is so unnecessary. Like, why did you do that? And it kind of goes for the same thing with all of the locations. Like, yeah, the locations are accurate, but is there anything interesting happening? No. The only interesting thing is that she cuts her hair. Like, that's insane. This is such a visual movie. Like, there's nothing really to look at. I was very disappointed with all of it.
What about her? Everybody's wearing the shirt at one point. I told you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Arta doesn't wear that. It, right?
No.
I thought that was
it was just a recognizable shirt.
Patrick's shirt that she's wearing, and I guess she gives it back, which is crazy because she would never give it back. You keep everything. I'm sorry.
Did he wear it first?
No, she wore it first.
I thought it was her shirt, and when she got dressed, she picked up his shirt, and so he just fucking unconsciously picked up her shirt and then, like, decides to use it later as, like, a mind game.
Yeah, that's what I figured, yes.
That was one of the few, like, planned out costume related things, but like,
yeah, like, is that even that interesting or good?
That is a designer shirt that's $330, and it used to be over $600.
What the fuck?
It is a designer t-shirt, which is
they probably didn't pay for that, though. Like, they probably didn't pay for that. They probably got it for free. So, if they paid $600 to use that in the movie, like, that's insane.
Look, if Zendaya is going to wear it, you can do whatever you want with this shirt.
No, usually you just have to go and say, I'm making a movie, and people give it to you for free. But yes, if you have names attached to it, that helps.
You can get one for $23 and another one for $16 if you would like to get the shirt. Yeah, but the OG one is on sale today right now for $330 at LOEWE.
Oh, it's 50% off? Man, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, you can save 50% of the money you shouldn't have spent in the first place.
I told you.
It's interesting, though, Kristen, that you're talking about how, like, none of it was super interesting, because I remember thinking in the cafeteria moment when you see Art wearing, like, the Stanford shirt with, like, it's just like a fucking, like, red polo or whatever, and I was like, this is so bland. This is so, like, white bread. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, what are we
shirt,
trying
though.
To...
They're at Stanford. Yeah. We're letting the people know that we're at Stanford. Like, it's storytelling.
But no, there's a bunch of not, those kinds of things. And it's like, what are we trying to do? Like, what are we communicating with this particular outfit?
Guys, yes. The poster. Look at the poster. Yeah. The poster is costume and Zendaya's face. Look, that's all it is. I'm telling... What?
No.
And we didn't even talk about that outfit. Come on. With the purple glasses, it's sexy as fuck.
Yeah, that's because she's sexy as fuck.
True.
No, the clothes are not good in this.
The outfit is nice. Come on.
There's a couple ones where she's like, yes, she looks super, super cute.
She's got with the shirt open, that's nice. Come on.
Okay, actually, so there's a one scene where she's wearing the layered necklaces when she's supposed to be in her 30s. And I was like, this is some Gen Z shit. She would not be wearing that. Like, you can't. It's not
like, yeah, the continuity of her necklaces flipping back and forth in some of these scenes is like really annoying to me. Like you can see it.
Oh, maybe. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, it was on multiple. It was on my second.
Jared, her eyes are up there.
I know. By that point, I'd already seen her eyes, and I'm actually looking lower.
Well, they were edging us the whole movie, you know? I mean, come on.
Yeah, we never get to see anything.
Yeah, there's nothing happens. This is all the entire movie, every single aspect. You're, like, waiting.
It's sexier in your mind, Kristen.
Yeah, it is. It's sexier in your mind and in the trailer and everywhere but the movie.
I don't know. I was definitely cracking up a couple of times when the guys were hitting the balls back and forth and they were making orgasm sounds in slow motion. Holy shit.
But that's what they do. That's like tennis matches.
I know, but I don't watch it and hear it in slow motion because they're on TV. It's like, whoop, you know, the ball bounces. When you do it in slow motion, it's like, boom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but so also. Like,
she said she's not
end,
a homewrecker, Brian.
There's like.
They clearly had a relationship going because tennis is a relationship.
Look, she could be like the hero of this story, right? She realized she did home wreck and she's going to bring them back together at the end. I mean, you could read it that way.
Yeah, that's a nice way. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's the happy ending, the Disney version.
I just blew my mind. I just looked up the guy who played Art. You know, he's not blonde. He's actually a brunette.
Fucking really? Son of a bitch liar.
Oh my God. People can nothing. Change their hair color.
I know, man, but
he
looks
true.
He
did look so good. Really good as a...
Yeah, he looked like a natural... Yeah, nothing's real in this fucking world.
I don't know, Kristen, I'm going through and looking at Zendaya's outfits here. They look pretty fucking awesome.
That's because she looks good. Cover her face
bro.
Up. Cover her face up, and then tell me if they still look good.
There are other things...
I mean,
no.
It's still her body upon which they are hanging, so...
Listen, it's not...
She looks great in that blue blouse, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. Again, oh, but in these she photos, does not you do look see bad. I'm just saying it could be so much better. It could have been so much better. I mean, even when you go have the flashbacks when they're in high school with Nelly like playing, it's like, and she has that blue dress on with like the black crinoline poking out. Very standard, very basic. She looks fantastic. It's a nice color, like all of this. But it like, could have been so much better. It could have been, like, you could have done literally anything else. In it.
She could have had butterfly wings and fucking sequins on her face.
Like, you know? If you're gonna, like, do a throwback. Like, it just, like, hinted at it. Like, it could have passed for today, you know? Like, it was boring. It was very uninspiring. And like when you first meet her character and she's wearing that little white tennis dress, so cute, very cute, so basic though. Like there's just nothing, I don't know. I was bored. I was bored.
Welcome to tennis.
No, I have been, no, listen, I've been to tennis games, and the thing 40 is,
love.
That like, when you actually sit down and watch one in person, it's riveting, but like, on TV, it's not, and the movie came close to kind of capturing, like, oh, this is kind of interesting, but I feel like it's an in-person event, you have to do it in person, otherwise it's boring.
All right, so you're telling me if they were all wearing owl costumes, playing tennis, the movie would obviously be
I would love
be
that,
a
yes.
Okay.
Obviously. Oh, my God. Could you imagine every time they did that right before they beat the rackets? Like, listen.
They beat it like a bird getting ready to take off and fly. Like, oh, hold on. I need another racket. You know, otherwise.
Okay,
not
I think we just solved like all of tennis's problems. Okay, this is the solution.
Look, you need
audible
to make the
expletive.
Get owl.
1 point.
Owlable expletive.
Owlable. There it is.
Oh, that guy was cracking me up. I don't know. Right. Is that the actual, like, what is he? The umpire?
He's like the
judge?
The ref or whatever. Running the court.
They had some other people
that
were like.
Beautiful close up at the end. Like, give him like this immaculately lit close up at the very end.
Oh, with that perfect highlight.
Yeah. And it's like slow motion. Yeah. He's just kind of like.
Yeah. This is so ridiculous. This whole movie was so ridiculous, though.
It is. But it's fun.
Is it?
Sure.
It's okay.
Ooh. I feel like we're at ratings. Is anybody got anything else?
Did anybody see it in IMAX?
No.
No.
Okay.
Don't pay for that.
Like, if I don't know, if I could have seen it in film or a laser projecting IMAX, sure. But I didn't take the 3-hour drive for it. I mean, it was a tennis movie. I was surprised how good it was, to be honest with you guys. Like, I thought it was going to be like a shitty, like, serious version of Bull Durham, you know, where like,
oh my best, god, wow, wow,
best tennis movie, or like what's the best tennis movie?
No, this has got to be it, right?
Goop.
What?
What'd you just say?
We're gonna follow it up with Wimbledon.
I'm just naming other tennis movies.
Was it? Is it? Is Match Point? I didn't hate that.
Yeah,
movie.
But it's got tennis in it. But it is actually, if you look up tennis movies, it's number two: Wimbledon, Match Point, Battle of the Sexes,
Battle of the Sexes. What is Battle of the Sexes?
Wimbledon is
final set. King Richard, Will Smith.
There all right, so they shouldn't tennis. Make tennis movies, is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, like, is
King Richard
that
is that low? Damn.
It was pretty boring.
That's why I skipped it.
Yeah, it's got it's got like a chunk in the middle that's pretty. Is it the middle? Yeah. Beginning, middle. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Strangers on a Train, Alfred Hitchcock.
Do they play tennis in that, or are they just talking about it?
A tennis player. Yeah. Yep.
That movie is like a setup where these two guys meet on a train, and this one crazy dude sees a tennis player, and he's a fan of him, and they both want people in their lives murdered, and the guy's like, hey, let's swap victims, and we'll kill each other's person that we want murdered, and like we'll have alibis and we'll get away with it. And it's this great awesome shot where he, you know, obviously the tennis player didn't go through with it, and the crazy dude's like sitting in the crowd and he's just fixated on the tennis player, and you're watching everybody else's face go from left to right, left to right, left to right.
Oh, that makes okay, so that is a direct ripoff then.
Oh yeah,
it's
absolutely
from an actual tennis movie.
Yeah,
okay, that's cool.
That's also got some I guess the poster is like there's a shot in Strangers on the Train with like a lighter being reflected in some glasses, which is
that's cool.
Very similar to the poster for this film, which I hated until I realized when I was going to the movie theater and actually saw the poster. This fucking hand-drawn poster. I thought it was a fucking photo from far away. Yeah, it's fucking hand-drawn. It's fucking a hand-drawn poster. And you go, you actually look at it, and it's, you know, you look up at it close.
That's where that $50 million went.
Artists don't get paid that much. Yeah. But anyway, are we at ratings here?
Sure.
Who's going first? I'm not going first this time. I went first like way too many times in a row. Come on.
I'll go first so everyone can disagree with me.
Cool.
This is an okay movie. It has its moments. Listen, there's some good stuff here, okay? Like there's some good acting. I guess there's good tennis. And there's some good writing moments. There's some good comedic moments. But like overall, it's like very uninspired and you're waiting for something to happen that never does. And it's also visually uninteresting because I feel like, yeah, I can save it. Like, you know, like give me something to look at that's more than just someone's face, you know, like, and there's nothing really to kind of hold on to. You've just got this relationship that's like not good. And I guess you're rooting for the two guys to be friends again, but like they didn't really have a friendship as we kind of established. It was always based on competition and I don't know. I don't really know what we're doing here. This is like, it's just a movie that I don't know why it was made. And I watched it twice. And because I, you know, sometimes, okay, there's a lot of people saying how great it is. The Times said that it was, you know, sex is coming back with this movie. And somebody else said this was like one of the greatest scripts in a couple of years, and everyone was talking about how lovely it was, and you know, so I need to see it, like, you know, the high expectations, and maybe if I see it a second time it'll settle somewhere out. But no, I felt exactly the same way about it the second time I saw it. Which reminded me of something that I would have loved when I was like 13, but I'm not 13 anymore, and so I'm so sorry. I'm gonna have to get I wish you guys had gone so I could like judge this appropriately, but I'm gonna give it like, I give it like a 6. I think it's not good. Ooh. It's fine though. Like it's a 6. So there's some stuff here. You know, you can get stuff out of it. But like, I mean, you could get stuff out of other things. Like I would skip it.
Skip it. Wow. Okay. All right.
You saw it twice to determine that you should have skipped it.
Yeah, because okay.
This movie is terrible. I will only watch it 3 more times.
No, 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 because sometimes when a movie is overhyped, I expect a lot and I'm disappointed, but you see it a second time and you're like, "Oh, actually, like, now I can appreciate it." That didn't happen here. Yeah, I still don't appreciate it.
Wow.
That tracks. That makes sense. I'm quite familiar with, I was not in the right mood to watch this movie and appreciate it, and I needed to see it again later, understanding, oh, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going on. Now I can actually like settle in for the ride that the movie is trying to give me. That was not my experience on this movie. I actually went into this not having any context, not knowing anything about it besides, I guess it's about tennis, and I know Zendaya's in it. I kind of fucking loved it, honestly. I thought it was a really interesting look at, maybe this is a weird way to describe it, modern movies and the way that they're going to look at relationships. Like, this feels like a trend that is kind of starting. I did not see, what was the fucking show that Zendaya was on HBO?
Euphoria.
That's the vibes that I got from this, just from seeing lots of stills and hearing people talk about Euphoria. That's what I kind of felt about this. Again, not knowing anything about the Euphoria, not having seen it. I've got the impression of this is a trend that's happening, and I find it interesting to like just have all these really long takes where these characters are just interacting for, you know, 45 seconds to a minute and a half in one single fucking shot, and there's blocking change, and there's the camera's moving around a little bit, and things are happening. There was a lot of those moments in this movie where there was really, really long takes of big emotional changes happening with subtle things in between, where someone's saying this big thing and then someone else is reacting differently, and like maybe I was in the right mood. I got sucked into the relationships that were happening. I really enjoyed this whole concept of life is tennis and tennis is relationships, and every single match is just people having a conversation kind of thing, and then all the conversations became tennis, and the music is undergirding how this is being hit back to that person, and they're maybe manipulating, but also this is just like everything was a competition, everything was a back and forth, including all of the cutting and the structure of the film. I think it all kind of layered on itself to be more complicated, like a tennis match of, I mean, the movie tells you what it's trying to be, and I think for the most part, for me, it did those things, and I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the tension between these characters, and are they gonna get back together? Are they gonna fucking keep fighting? Like, are these two dudes gonna finally realize that they're kind of bi for each other? Like, you know, like, I thought that shit, like, worked pretty well, actually. Some of the camera stuff in this kind of bothered me. Like, there were some moments where I appreciated, like, oh, we're going to move the camera in this way, and then we're going to move the camera in that way. And then there were other moments where it was like, well, this just looks like a weird fucking, like, gimbal on a rig that got shaky, and then you moved the camera around, and you decided that the shaky was part of it when it clearly shouldn't have been. There's a lot of focus issues, but, like, I think overall it's a pretty movie. If you like these faces, this is an interesting movie for these three faces. That is what the entire focus of the whole thing is. I think everything is kind of bland and boring in the background because the emphasis for the visuals that they were going for is, if you like this face, you're going to be fucking in it. If you don't care, then you're going to be bored. I found them all to be pretty interesting faces. Some of the times when they were doing like weird jump cut things felt a little bit like they maybe just needed more coverage and just didn't think that they would need it, and then they got in the edit and they were like, the scene is too long, we're already 2.5 hours and we need it to be two. The movie felt a little long in some moments, but I don't know what you would cut. I don't have a lot of complaints for this, honestly. I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought it was well executed. Some of it was pretty heavy-handed, including the music, like the recurring motifs, like what they were trying to do. It's not a perfect movie, but I enjoyed the ride. I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Nice.
All right, 8.5.
Let me go, Brian. I'm not going to have a lot to say. The movie, what?
Oh. You're not going last, huh? All right. No, okay.
No, fuck no, I'm not going last. You need to wrap it up, because you're going to do a proper review. Look, man, this movie is entertaining. I haven't seen a good drama in a while, and it was nice seeing some relationship drama. And I saw some things I've never seen on film before. And I got to witness that with a crowd that's obviously never seen shit like that on the screen before either. And it was really fucking fun. When they go in for the threesome, like, fucking bed thing and they start making out, yeah, you feel the energy in the room. That's pretty great to see in a fucking theater. Overall, the fucking lighting is pretty decent in most of the scenes, but just the fucking focus pulls really pull me out. And I know that's me as a filmmaker, and that really gets in my way sometimes. But overall, it's still really entertaining. Maybe a little bit long, the music's a little weird and all that, but that's cool. I like movies that challenge you a little bit. So, you know what? It's an 8. It's not a perfect fucking movie. It's a good movie, you know? It's entertaining. And I got more out of it than I was expecting to. Let's just say that.
You could say it challenged you. You're a challenger.
Oh, bro! I think we were all challenged in this one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to echo what everybody said. Like, the good moments are, they're good. It is nice seeing an adult drama, a rom-drom, if you would.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm here for that shit.
It was nice. The thing that does hold it back, you know, it's the music and the cinematography. These are things that, when they work and they hit, man, they are great. But there are times when they take you out of the movie, it takes you out. It just pulls you out, sucks you out. I kind of want to see this at home because it was the audience in the theater that really helped me get back into the movie every time I was pulled out. And it was, I would say I got pulled out like, you know, about 10 times in a 2-hour runtime, which is pretty frequent. I was going to say 9, but I don't know, the music and the cinematography, I think I'm going to come in at an 8. And, you know, guys, we have talked about buzz shots a lot. What the fuck is going on in fucking cinematography today where we're just letting out of focus shit? The stuff that, like, we grew up on and, like, we were told, like, no, if it's out of focus, you reshoot it or you cut around it. Now we're just like, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Is this reality TV that has, like, literally invaded filmmaking, or are we just like, you know what, we got digital tools, fuck it, we're gonna focus on other things? What the fuck is happening?
I haven't seen anyone talk about it except for us talking about this movie being out of focus. This movie's fucking out of focus. This movie is probably about 20-30% out of fucking focus.
Yeah,
let's get that fixed, y'all. Come on. Yeah. I know, but here's the deal. I just looked it up. They did shoot on film. It's way harder to focus on film.
Sure.
And they're shooting wide the fuck open in all these really dark situations.
Long fucking lenses. Yeah.
And long lenses. Trust me, I can't do it. You know.
But like, there's
$55 million. Let's see this motherfucker in focus.
There are solutions for those kinds of issues. Like, there are 3D tracking planar things that can give you LiDAR on set so you can, like, look at all this shit. Like, if you're gonna have a wide open lens and you know you're shooting on film and everything's gonna be dark, like, there are steps that you can take to, like, help yourself. Maybe they just didn't know about these things. Maybe they didn't have those resources in camera department or something. Like, but fuck, man.
It's even like the camera moves. Like, even some of the camera moves are jerky in this. It's just like Poor Things. And
it's
like
a heavy camera, guys. Come on.
Whatever. Yeah, but like all these movies we've reviewed here lately, these new ones, this is what we're talking about. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, Anatomy of a Fall, I'll give it. It's the style. You're trying to go for that. But everything else we've talked about, I don't know, man. I feel like now I'm just trying to justify people fucking up their jobs.
Keep it in focus, people. With its trio of outstanding performers volleying their star power back and forth without ever dropping the ball, Challengers is a kinetic and sexy romp at court. Rotten Tomatoes brings Challengers in as fresh with an 88% tomato meter and a 74% audience score.
All right, that sounds about right. Audience lower than critics. I can see that.
Yeah.
That tracks for this director. Have you guys ever, I know, Jared, we watched the Suspiria remake, but
that's the only thing I've ever seen by this film.
Oh, really? Have you guys ever seen Bones and All?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, watch Bones and All. That's a good one. And what was the other one he did with Timothy Chalamet? An Armie Hammer that was like Call Me By Your Name. You guys ever see that one? That one's good, too.
No, I've not seen that one either.
But I recommend both those.
I have heard enough about that one that this makes a little bit more sense now.
All right. Anybody got anything else?
No, sir.
So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to the... If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at moviecrewpod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at checkthegate.
Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
And Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And we're going to close out the show tonight with an excerpt from... Oh, I actually don't know. What are we going to do? Do we want to do the closing Trent Reznor? Like, I forget what the...
Can you do Head Like a Hole?
Come decompress, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, or do you want to do the musical unce sting?
Aren't you just going to like intercut this entire thing with that?
All right, okay. All right, all right, all right. Fair enough.
Compress, recompress. Is that what it's called? Decompress, recompress. I forget what it is.
Yeah, we're going to be playing an excerpt from track 16, Compress, Repress. This is from Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. Enjoy.
Why the fuck do you even know that, Mike? Why do you know the names of these songs?
It came up in the title.
I just watched it this afternoon at the 3 o'clock showing.
You picked up the fucking, like... The track.
Well, the song was,
no,
was weird.
No, there
enough
was a big
that, but
credit.
There's, yeah, giant credit. This song by these guys, and then when like the end, okay, of the titles came out, and you had the actual songs, like the five or six that were listed, it was again listed.
Okay. Yeah, because the entire time I was like, "Oh, this sounds like Trent Reznor right here." Like when he was singing, and then like it's like, "Oh, music by Trent Reznor." Blah
when
blah
the,
blah.
When the credits rolled up, all I could do was turn to the person I'm sitting with and go, "Is this fucking movie out of focus? Like, what the fuck is going on?" And they're like, "Yeah, I know."
They looked at you and were like, "Bro, you need glasses. Let me tell you what, sharp as shit."
Oh fuck, I'm in trouble.
I said good day, sir. I said good day. Surrender.